to, but then as I study it, I just am encouraged by it. And I don't always do, but I then like to preach on it. Revelation chapter 22, and we'll begin in verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We have a wedding that we are getting ready for. We're not doing the wedding, which is good, but doing the rehearsal dinner and all the things that get ready. And so as you get closer, your mind is on that, and what motivates your behavior to a certain degree is getting ready. You know, when you're in school and you know finals are coming up, well, in 2 or 3 weeks you've got finals, and so what motivates your behavior and what you're going to do with your time is motivated by that end product, the final that you're going to take. When a farmer gets ready to plant, or when he gets ready to reap the crop, what motivates his behavior and what he's doing is he knows the end product. He knows what's going to happen. And so that sort of is in his mind and in his thinking. And so he begins to make his daily schedule based on preparing for that. Well, that's why you and I need to hear about heaven every so often, because our lives are to be motivated and encouraged by what will one day we will enjoy. And it ought to make us encouraged. It ought to make us be motivated to serve the Lord and not just go aimlessly through life. And I want to notice about 7 things in this passage of Scripture that describe heaven. Verse 3. First of all, he says, "And there shall be no more curse. Suffering and shame are gone away." Now, what does he mean by the curse? He goes back all the way to the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and a curse of sin became a part of the world that you and I live in. It is 2 things, maybe others, but it's at least 2 things. It is the sin itself. We live in a fallen world that is cursed. We, to a certain degree, are cursed because we are sinful. We live in this fallen humanity, and though we are saved, we still live in this fallen humanity, and sin permeates the world that we live in. It is becoming even more predominant in our society as it is being expressed. And what you and I as human beings don't quite appreciate, because you won't hear it today, is the depth of our sinfulness. Now, if we could be in God's presence, we would know it. But the curse of sin and its evil permeates even us. Because even at our best, that we can muster up, we are still fallen. Self is often involved. We probably never entirely do everything. We do as best we know how in God's eyes, but never entirely do everything perfectly and with pure motives. We are sinful. The curse of sin has rested on this world. It creates the problems, the wars, the conflicts, the hatred, the bitterness, the cold feelings, the apathy towards God. All of the curse of sin brings us in the world that we live in. Secondly, that curse is the result of it, suffering. Suffering. You may ask the question, why? Well, I can tell you why. This world is cursed. We live in a fallen world, and the effects of sin begin to express itself. We get diseases. We get hurt. We have problems. We grow old. All of these things are part of the curse. God has left us in this world. And it's a sin-cursed world with suffering. no suffering. There is no pain. There is no hardship. There is no difficulty. There is no attitudes that are wrong. There is no hatred. There is no bitterness. There's no apathy. There's no indifference. There's no unconcern. There's none of the sinful human motions. All of it has been done away, and there's no more curse. Beautiful harmony, peace, and love, and graciousness abide. There is no more pain. There's no more hurting. There's no more feeling bad. There's no more worrying. There's no more troubles. The curse of sin has been removed, and all is well. He then says the second thing, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. In Revelation 4, he also includes the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But the Bible emphasizes God the Father, who is preeminent, and God the Son, who, as the Lamb, sacrificed and provided the salvation that we have. But he says the throne. What that means is that now the sovereign God is in full 100% control. You say, well, I thought God's control today. Yes. God is sovereignly working out his purposes, but he has allowed the curse and the problem and the difficulty of sin to remain in this world. And so sometimes there are things that happen. Sometimes there are things that are problems. Sometimes things go wrong because God has allowed sin and the curse to remain. But now in heaven, he's sitting on his throne. The Lamb is on the throne. And therefore, they, and the picture of it is, of the sovereign God now in total control. This is his world. This is his domain. This is his place. All sin has been banished. All suffering has been banished. We are now in our glorified bodies with no more. And now the sovereign God is now there, says, this is my world. He's created a new heaven and a new earth. He's banished all sin. He's condemned all those who've rejected them. They're separated from him. And now, he's banished the enemy of death. He's banished the enemy of sin. He's banished the enemy Satan. He's banished all those who've rejected him. And now he has made the world that he is the sovereign God of. That's why it's what it is. Because God is in full control. And then he says a third thing. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. Service and servants is what he next said. You know, there are two extremes on how people view heaven today. I don't believe everything I hear. I will tell you that. I don't believe everything I hear. Anything anybody told me. What I do believe is what Scripture says. That's the priority for me. But there are two extremes. One, people make it so earthly. And that's understandable because we live in this world. This is all we know, is the earthly existence. And sometimes we make it too earthly. You know, we sort of make it in such an earthly way that we're up there, we're going to be watching TV, or we're going to be out hunting, or we're going to be doing some of the things, and we sometimes make it so earthly. That's understandable. That's okay. Because we're human. That's all we can identify with. So it's okay to think of it as a perfect world. The other extreme is to take heaven so far that it's just monotonous. We're just up there and floating. So whatever there is of the earth, not fully in its sense, I will still, and you will still be part of that, because we'll be in this body. We're not going to be floating around. We're going to be in this body. And whatever heaven is will not be monotonous. When it says we shall serve him, he said, what are we going to be doing? What can I tell you? A God who can speak and create the world that we live in, and who can create the creation, the animal, just the animal, just the birds, with such complexity. You don't think the infinite mind of God will have a lot for us to do? Now, we can't quite comprehend that, because there'll be no one needing to be saved anymore. And, you know, we won't be janitors having to clean up. We can't quite, but the Bible says we shall serve him. Whatever it's going to be a combination of our earthiness, because there will be a new heaven and a new earth, but not fully as we would think of it. And then there's going to be the glory and the majesty. Whatever it is going to be, we're going to be busy enjoying ourselves and serving him and doing things and providing. Going to be busy. We're going to be busy. I don't know what all God's going to have us do. He's probably going to have me go out and check the distant planets. I don't know. They probably won't be here. Maybe fly in my spaceship and go check it out and come back. I don't know what all it's going to be. We're going to be busy. We're going to be serving him, honoring him, praising him, enjoying one another, being busy about the task of serving. Because the reason is, because a new heaven and new earth, there's no more sin. There's no more suffering. That's been done away with, but it's not going to be monotonous. Oh, I've been here 10,000 years, and all I've been doing is sitting on this cloud playing my harp. I'm so bored. Can we do something else, Lord? I mean, no, it isn't going to be that. It's going to be service, busyness, activity. Now, we can't comprehend it because we're so earthly bound, but the two will go together because we will be in this body. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to be busy enjoying eternity forever and ever. Then the fourth thing he says in verse 4, and they shall see his face. You could not see God in his fullness. You cannot see God in his fullness. In the Old Testament, Moses said, I want to see you, to see your glory. And God said, I'll go by and I'll put my hand and cover you so you can see me as I go by. But you can't see me in my fullness, in the glory that I am. But because we will be glorified, no sin, no shame, we'll be able to see him. His face means in closeness and in the fullness of who he is. Now, he's not the man upstairs. He's not just a God. He is the God. All I know is before the world was ever made, there was only God. I can't comprehend that. All we know is the world. There was God. And we will see him in his fullness, face to face. I believe part of the curse that's removed and part of the joy of heaven will just simply be because we're in his presence. You know, sometimes when I take a trip, I love your Washington, D.C. I just like to see the White House. I like to sit there, and I'll sit there sometimes 2 hours, and I'm just enjoying myself seeing you come in and out. I just enjoy being there because I know that's the place of our country. That's where the presidents lived except for George Washington. And I just like it. Just gives me tingles. That don't even compare to being in the presence of Almighty. long to heal. You know what a lot of people's problem today is? They don't know love and they don't know belonging somewhere. They just don't. I mean, look at some of the homes that people live in today. Some don't know who their daddy is. Some are just abused. Some are mistreated. They don't know what it means to just be loved and accepted for who they are. Even we human beings find that hard, to just accept one another. We're often criticizing one another, tearing down one another. We find it hard to find a place where we are comfortable in our skin and we are just accepted for who we are. Well, in heaven, the emphasis on we belong to Him. It isn't just He is theirs, but His name is written in our foreheads to indicate we are His. We are His children. We belong to Him. And He loves us. And He knows us by name. He knows who we are. He cares about us. We are His. We belong to Him. You know, sometimes the world may criticize us. We belong to Him. In eternity, we will belong to Him forever and ever and ever. And then the sixth thing He says in verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth thee light. I love this. I cannot fully communicate. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. They didn't have electricity. Candle is the primary emphasis of light. And I guess the emphasis is from that lighting that surrounded just a general area, like the candle, and the sun that encompasses all light everywhere. In other words, there's going to be no need for a little candle to light this area. There's going to be no need for the sun to light this area, because God in His very presence will illuminate the whole place. A while back, had to be somewhere and drove out in the country. And it was kind of a cloudy night. You couldn't see the stars. And I didn't know you people out in the country live so much in the dark. I didn't know that. It was dark out there. I mean, I almost tripped over a few places trying to get through because there was just no light around. There wasn't a street lamp. Around Boston, my house, we got street lights all down the street. And even if it's a cloudy night, we still got street lights. It's still bright. But boy, I was out there, and I mean, it was just dark. And I remember commenting to someone that, man, I didn't live, knew y'all lived in the dark so much. It's just plain dark out there. No light. You know how it is when there's a cloudy day and there's a threat of weather. It just starts to get this foreboding darkness over the place, and it just isn't enjoyable. You know, it's kind of a gloomy day. will be conquerors. We will be servants. We will be accomplishing something. I don't know what it will be. We're obviously not going to be evangelizing because the end has come. But we're going to be busy servants, accomplishing and reigning for the Lord. But it will be forever and ever 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 and ever. And it will never end. Now, if you think heaven is up there where we're just sort of floating and it's monotonous, you need to cast that out. And if you think it's earthly, we just sort of lay it around fishing all the time, you need to cast that out. You need to understand that whatever it is, in the greatest events of our humanity, and we are glorified, we will know fullness and completeness and service and joy forever and ever, and I can't even comprehend that. I'll encourage you today. As you go through life, you need a little motivation to read your Bible. You need a little motivation to pray. A little motivation to sort of confess a sin or two along the way. Yes, I know. I might have to confess a few of them. You need a little motivation to want to encourage someone, the Lord, or maybe just say, I'm a Christian. You need a little encouragement in the midst of all the suffering. Look at the end product. Look at where we're headed. Let that kind of encompass you and be encouraged and be motivated to wholly live. You don't hear that today. All you hear today is being satisfied, being happy, and not holy. I don't know about you, but I've been trying to be holy and godly, Christ-like. Or do I fall short? But that's what heaven is. That's what heaven is. You know, we're looking forward to a wedding. We've got 3 weeks left. 3 weeks. And boy, it's like, man, I've got 100 things I need to get done. Getting ready for it. Getting excited. It kind of encompasses my thoughts and time. We're getting ready. Getting ready. Then we're getting ready for the next week. Then we're getting ready for the next week. But you know what? The great event we all be getting ready for is heaven. That ought to animate us and motivate us and give us joy. Let's pray. Father, we love you today and we thank you for your precious and wonderful word. May you use the great, lofty thoughts of heaven to motivate our lives.